Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the first Engage for Success radio show of 2013 and the third in our series of pilots. This is Ali Godding, and you've just heard the Royal Mail Choir singing Return to Sender, which was one of the numbers that they performed at one of our recent Go Live events back in later November. And I think they're not only great fun, but they also make for a very good jingle filler whilst we create our own bespoke one. So as I said, I'm Ali Godding, seconded to the Engage for Success core team by Grassroots, and it's my first day back in the office, so if everyone could be nice and gentle with me, that would be great. I'm joined today by two co-hosts, John Ingham and Joe Dodds. John is the mastermind behind this whole show and a consultant and analyst in strategic and innovative HR. And Joe is a social media consultant helping HR people to build business relationships in our social world, and she's also a great speaker on that topic. And both John and Joe are very proactive contributors to the movement, and I thank you both for being here. So hello.
Hello, thank you.
Hello. And we also have the privilege of having a special guest, Professor Katie Truss, join us. Katie is currently the Professor of Human Resource Management and Head of the People Management and Organisation Group at Kent Business School. She's also Director of Studies for what I personally believe is one of the first of its kind, the Postgraduate Certificate in Employee Engagement. She's on the steering group of the Engage for Success Expert Community, also known as the Guru Group. And we're delighted to welcome her with us on this show.
Hello, Ali. Thank you very much.
Hello. So how is everybody this fine winter's afternoon? Is everybody feeling good?
Good, thank you. Yes.
Excellent.
Not too bad. It's a bit dark out there, though.
It is a bit, actually. I can't believe it, considering it's only 4 o'clock, but hopefully the next few months it'll brighten up a bit. Obviously, we all know that a bit of rest and recuperation are key to employee engagement. And, in fact, David sent me a note just before Christmas specifically saying, and I quote, only think about relaxing with friends and family. So that's exactly what I've done for the last 2 weeks. I haven't thought about anything else. So I'm stuck to the system, back to work today. What did you get up to, John?
Mainly relaxing with friends and family. Week at home, week skiing. Like you, only back at work today. I do realise I'm on a bit of a bad line, so I probably won't do too much talking in the show, but we'll sit back and do some masterminding in the background.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you enjoyed your skiing. I've never done that before, but it's supposed to be pretty cool. Joe, any New Year's resolutions or any little stories from Christmas you'd like to share?
I don't do New Year's resolutions, so no, none of those. I also went skiing, just got back on Saturday, and back to work tomorrow. Little Dodsy's off to school tomorrow, so back to normal and get my head around doing some work. But, yeah, lovely break, as you say, spending time with family and lapping up the sun and the snow.
Yeah, because it's strange, isn't it? It's snowing, you think of it, or what I always think of it as being just really cold and snowy, but if you're in a, you know, France or somewhere, it's going to be nice and sunny as well, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, especially when you're exerting yourself to go down that slope, so it's hardly, it's not normally cold. Some years it's been very, very cold, but this year it was lovely.
Very nice, and we can hear you perfectly crisply, which is brilliant. Crisp as snow. Katie, what about you? That was a bad joke. Katie, what about you? What was the break like for you? Anything exciting happening? Or?
Well, I had a lovely break, thank you, Ali. Just a quiet time at home with family and friends. There were a few bugs about, which wasn't so good. But I had a lovely time, a lovely break. So kind of looking forward to getting back into it all again now in January.
Yeah, that's definitely same here. Definitely feel that way. So on today's show, we're going to be recapping some of the goings-on in December. We'll have a chat with our friend Professor Katie Truss, and we'll also be having a quick look at what is coming up in January. So before we have our chat with Katie, let's have a little bit of a recap on the goings-on in December. So Joe, did you want to tell us about one of the events?
Yeah, there was an event on the 3rd of December, a regional practitioner event, which was held in London at Crown Plaza in New Bridge Street, hosted by the Intercontinental Hotel Group. And the day was led by Mark Gregory of BAE, and Nita Clark was there, and we had quite a few tweets coming out of there showing that it was a very energising day for all. It was a practitioner event, as I say, an opportunity to network, share ideas, talk about case studies and think about good practice around what's happening within the regions. And we have some good quotes. So one of the tweets that came out was from Suzanne Evans, who's a PR and marketing consultant and also a Tory councillor, saying that it was good to meet some great people, all passionate about employee engagement, at event organised by Engage for Success team this morning. Thanks. And another one by 5x5 People, a communications agency, talked about thank you for a well-structured, well-informed and well-interesting practitioners event this morning. Great communication style there.
Bit of recognition. Liking it.
So it looks like it was really good.
Fantastic. And if anyone is interested in attending a practitioner event, then if people go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, and hit the join in button on the top right, then follow the links through and you'll be able to see what events we've got going on near you. And if you're interested in hosting an event, and we're always looking for new people to host events across all different parts of the country, then please do email practitioners@engageforsuccess.org. That would be fantastic. And John, if we can hear you right, it'd be great to hear about the Releasing Employee Voice event.
Yeah, not one I went to, but I was following the tweets from the event, which were, again, very interesting, and have, since getting back from skiing, been having a look at a report from the event, which is available on the website. So just to fill in the details, this is back, again, sort of early on in December, 10th of December, looking at Employee Voice, an event done in partnership between the think tank Tomorrow's Company, Towers Watson, the IPA, looking at the importance of employee voice, the way that organisations give rise to it. Some great case studies, I'm sure, at the event and certainly in the report. Would definitely encourage people to go and have a look. If listeners go to engageforsuccess.org and search there, or just search in Google, the title Rethinking Voice for Sustainable Business Success, would definitely recommend it.
Fantastic, thank you. And I believe that they're conducting some more research over the next few months, so if you do want to get involved, I think there's information on how to do that in the report, at the back of the report. I think it's probably page 22 or somewhere thereabouts.
That's very precise.
Very precise.
I think it's roughly thereabouts. Page 22.
Yeah, go there. There was also another event on the 13th of December that I was involved in, actually, but it was Francis Goss, Head of Employee Engagement, who was chairing it, and it was in support of Engage for Success. David and Nita were there. They gave an update on the movement and what's kind of happened and what's going to be happening and how people can get involved. Sharon Darwin is the Head of Employee Engagement at BT, and she spoke about their journey and how they've got about focusing on employee engagement and looking to raise levels of employee engagement through quite a complex organisation. And also attendees spent some time exploring their own engagement challenges and looking at where they're going to be focusing in 2013. So it was a really lively event, and there will be a short summary report coming out hopefully by the end of January, and we'll also include David and Nita's talk. We'll probably put that on some sort of recorded place, put it on the Engage for Success website, so look out for that. And of course the Engaging Workplaces for a Sustainable Future event, and that was on the 17th of December. That was the event that Katie Truss arranged with the University of Kent, ESRC, and in collaboration with the Engage for Success Guru Group. And we were all there, so we've all got a bit of an insight, I'm sure, into our favourite bits of that and what things we learned and took away from it. It was the last in a series of seminars. I thought they were fantastic, actually. I went to all but one of them. There was one in somewhere that I can't remember where, but I couldn't get to it. But they were really, really informative, extremely thought-provoking, and I felt just a good mix of practitioners and academics. So I always came away with something fresh, you know, new insight or new information or new contact. So it was really, you know, I felt it was a really good whole series, because I think there was about four or five of them. Unfortunately, I was only able to attend the morning of the December seminar. I think, John, you were able to attend all of it, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Which is, I'm jealous, because I think there's some great speakers in the afternoon. I mean, I wanted to hear Peter Cheese, from the CEO of CIPD, but I missed him. But I did hear David Anita, who was speaking in the morning, and my personal favourite was Russell Grossman, the director of comms for the Department for Business Innovation and Skills. And I've worked with him in relation to some Engage for Success work, but I'd never heard him speak as a public speaker. And I thought he was fantastic, really engaging, but also I thought it was really interesting to hear the government's perspective and kind of stuff that they're doing and how they are, you know, aiming to practice what they preach. You know, they support Engage for Success and how they are looking to implement some of those themes within their own organisations. That was really, I felt, really interesting. But there's loads of information and the presentations of the speakers available on the University of Kent website. I will give you the web address, but it's quite long, so we will tweet a link as well to it. And we'll also put it on our news page on the Engage for Success website, so you'll have lots of different points to see it. But it is kent.ac.uk/kbs/ECG/news-events/engage_for_success. So if you want to go directly to it, go there. Otherwise, have a look on our website, which is engageforsuccess.org. So Katie, yes, December event, which was, I really enjoyed it, but it was just one of a series of events. So what was the aim of the whole series, and what were you seeking to achieve, and did you achieve those aims?
Well, thanks very much, Ali. It's great to hear that you went to so many of them and found them so useful. That makes it all kind of worthwhile, really. Yes, well, what happened was a couple of years back, I put in a funding bid to the Economic and Social Research Council together with my colleagues, Emma Soane, Kirsten Alfiz, Amanda Shantz and Rick Delbridge, to get some funding to support a series of seminars that was really aimed at bringing together academics and practitioners to discuss and debate engagement. This was at a time when the original McLeod review had been published, but the Engage for Success movement hadn't launched. So it was a really interesting time to be starting the series. And we were delighted to get the funding. And I suppose we had really four main aims with the series. The first one was to bring together academics and practitioners, because there's some really interesting research going on amongst the academic community, and we felt that wasn't really necessarily getting through to practitioners in the way that it could. And equally, we wanted to make sure that practitioners were able to access academics and find out what was going on there, and that academics could talk to practitioners. So that was the first aim, to kind of bring everybody together, and I think we've sort of achieved that. I was quite pleased to do this last event. And the second thing we wanted to achieve really was raising awareness of engagement as a topic, and that was very much in collaboration with some of the aims and objectives of Engage for Success. And again, I think I was quite pleased with the way that we managed to do that. We had a very good audience at all the events. I think we had an audience of between about 75 and 150 at each of the seminars, which is well above what the ESRC would normally expect. Our third aim was sharing ideas and best practice around engagement. And we wanted really, finally and fourthly, to offer these events for free to everybody. So we were able to use our funding from the ESRC to make the events available perhaps to people who haven't necessarily got access to significant sums of money to attend events. Sometimes these are quite expensive. So we were able to launch all the events in collaboration with our own universities and with the funding from the ESRC. without having to charge anybody. When I think that that was pretty good. I think our delegates got good value for money from having the event for free. So that's really what we were trying to achieve with the series, Ali.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. And I know that from my personal experiences, the academics and practitioners coming together was really, really helpful. And the fact that it was free made a massive difference, you know, because a lot of people within organisations just can't get funding to go to loads of different conferences. It's just, you know, the money just isn't there. So to have something like that available was really, really helpful. So the December event was specifically titled Engaging Workplaces for a Sustainable Future. Can you share maybe some of the highlights or some of the insights that you got from that particular event?
Oh, gosh. Ali, it was such a fantastic event. I probably shouldn't say that because I organised it, but I thought it was brilliant. We had some excellent speakers, and it's really difficult to pick out any highlights, I think. I found all of the talks incredibly interesting. We were particularly pleased to have Peter Cheese there, the chief executive of the CIPD, and I think I found what he had to say around the importance of trust and integrity and the emotional side of engagement. In other words, it's not just a purely rational thing being engaged with your work, but there's an emotional side to it as well, and we kind of tend to forget that. And I think he brought that all out really well in his talk. I thought that Russell Grossman did a fantastic talk as well. And I also found Professor David Guest from King's College London. I thought he did a really interesting talk. And I don't know if you remember, Ali, but he talked about the Guest 12, which is kind of picking up on the Gallup Q12, sort of policies and practices to encourage engagement. And I thought they were really interesting. So it's very interesting to hear about those 12 areas. And he included in those things like the importance of values, the importance of communication. And he also talked about flexible working and fairness of treatment of workers. And I think that's really important as well, and reminded us about the fact that at the end of the day, the employment relationship is a kind of a social exchange. And so there needs to be a reciprocal expectation on the part of both employers and employees around what we can expect from the employment relationship. So the whole theme about trust and integrity and communication, and I think that those themes ran through the whole day, really.
Yeah, no, I can see that, and picking up on your comment about David Guest, I think, yeah, he did a fantastic talk. I really enjoy hearing him. I've heard him at, I think he was on one of the other seminar series, and he's always really insightful and provocative. I love his style, and yeah, I think it was brilliant to hear him and all the other speakers. I was just ashamed to miss Peter Cheese. But Joe and John, did you want to chip in with any particular highlights you found from the event?
I think Katie's probably mentioned most of them for me. I guess probably the other one that I thought was really excellent was the Capital One presentation, but I'm not going to go on about that because I talked about it on the last show. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, the big thing for me, which again Katie was already talking about, was this link between academics and practitioners, which I don't think is anything like tight enough. And, you know, in the area of engagement as well as lots of other areas, there's just huge amounts of stuff which is known by academics but doesn't often filter through to practitioners. And I think these sort of events that bring those two things together, you know, cause, I don't know, I mean, in the engagement space, I absolutely agree with what Katie was saying about the sort of the emotional side of engagement, the need to really think about people, to put yourself in their place, all of the, and you just treat them as human beings. All of that is tremendously important. But, you know, to do engagement well, I do think there is a bit of a science in this as well. You know, there are things that work, there are things that don't, and I'm not sure that all of that stuff is understood as well as it might be. It was brilliant, and I'm really pleased to see that some academics at least are trying to bring academics and practitioners together.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the real kind of winning parts of it, isn't it? So, Katie, what did you learn anything yourself particularly? I mean, obviously you know huge amounts about the subject, but was there anything that you learned that you didn't already know?
Oh, goodness, Ali. Well, it's very kind of you to say, but I don't feel I am an expert, really. I think the people who are out there doing it on the ground, trying to raise engagement levels for their staff are the real experts. I learned a massive amount at this event and at the earlier events about engagement. I think some of the insights that I got into some of the strategies being pursued by companies and organisations around engaging, raising engagement levels, were particularly important for me because it was really interesting just to see the sheer variety of things that are going on. And Kirstine Cooper was talking about the importance of voice at the University of Greenwich and getting people involved. Sharon Darmont was talking about flexible working and structures at BT. And Karen Bowles at Capital One was talking about the importance of values and alignment. And it's presentations such as these really bring to life the whole engagement debate and stop it becoming just an arid thing of us sort of sharing abstract ideas. It makes it very real and very personal, and I think I got the most from those.
I think you're absolutely right, bringing it to life, making it kind of connect with day-to-day lives of people who are working every day. I think it's really makes a difference to hear that, doesn't it? And what in your personal opinion is required to make an engaging workplace something that will give you, the UK, a sustainable future?
Oh, that is the $64,000 question, Ali. when I'm talking about engagement to people, I tend to address it as five key questions that people ask themselves, and if they can answer all of the questions with a yes, then you've got high levels of engagement. And the first one is, am I in the right job? So the whole thing about person job fit, feeling that you're able to use your skills and that the job is the right one for you. And the second one is, do I make a difference? And this is all about meaningful work, finding your work has some meaning and you feel that you're making a contribution. And that's really important as well. The third one is, am I treated with respect? And this comes back to the whole debate about trust and integrity and the social exchange that we were hearing about. And the fourth one is, do I know where we're going? So in other words, again, this is what David and Nita talk about a lot in terms of strategic narrative. Do we know what the organisation is trying to achieve? So is there something we can get behind as a team in order to get engaged? And then finally, do I have a say? In other words, employee voice. Is there a mechanism that people trust and are confident in order to express their views? And broadly speaking, if people answer those questions in the affirmative, then they're going to be engaged with their work. So I think any practices and policies that address those five core areas, for me, are pretty fundamental to engagement.
Yeah, no, that would make a lot of sense, and I think you're absolutely right. That's something that's going to help. If everybody was doing all of those five things really well, then the UK would probably be in a very different place, wouldn't it?
It would, absolutely.
Yeah. I have got some questions that I've already received from some people who aren't able to listen in today but wanted to ask you some questions. But we do have an open line that people can dial into. This is a pilot and we haven't advertised it extensively, so I'm not necessarily expecting anybody to dial in. But if anybody did want to, the number's 001-347-237-4274. So please feel free to dial in and ask Professor Katie Truss some questions. And in the meantime, while I'm looking at the dashboard to see if I've got any calls coming through, I will ask you some of the questions that people I've asked have provided. So Helen Woolley, she's an HR business partner at the John Lewis Partnership, and she asks, if you could improve just one thing across the UK to positively impact employee engagement, what would that be?
Oh, that's a tough one. Just one thing. If it was just one thing and only one thing, I think it would probably have to be the quality of line management. Because line managers, and this came out really clearly in the seminar that we had just before Christmas, it's really the quality of line managers that impact on the day-to-day engagement of all of us in the workplace. So if you've got line managers who listen, who communicate well, create a sense of trust, treat you fairly, give you, reasonable work to do, where you know you can have reliance on your line manager, this is going to have a huge impact on engagement. So I think if Helen were there, I would say that probably that would be my one thing. But I'd be interested to know if perhaps Joe and John had a view on that as well.
I agree with you, Katie. I think the sort of line management capability around this sort of stuff is so important. And you know, without that right, anything you try and do, you know, whatever it might be, just really doesn't work. So I agree.
Oh, great. Thanks, Joey. It's good to know I'm
I should be
right
more controversial and say I disagree, but I don't.
any more on that one, or shall I ask the next question?
Yeah, for the sake of time, Ali, I'll pass on that.
Okay. So the next question comes from an employee who works for an SME in the southeast, and he wanted to remain anonymous. But he asks, how do you get leaders and managers who believe that they're doing the right thing to acknowledge that they need to change to inspire and motivate their people? How do you get them to believe that being controlling isn't helpful when they don't really seem to know any different? That's just the way they are.
Again, a very tough question, and I think that this is an issue that a lot of companies are dealing with, especially a lot of smaller companies where perhaps a more command and control management style has evolved over time, and it can be very difficult to address that. And of course, engagement is very much about involving people, giving employees voice, treating people with trust and respect and so on. So being controlling as a manager is pretty much the antithesis of engagement. But of course, if you just try and address that one thing on its own without looking at the context within which that is taking place, it's going to be very difficult to do that. So I'm not sure that there is any one simple thing you can do that's going to affect that. I know Eric Collins from Nampak Plastics well, and his company have won quite a lot of awards for their engagement strategies. And this was one of the issues, in fact, that they faced at Nampak. And I know that they used multiple interventions to address it, and that included things like training and development for line managers, showing them the benefits of using a new approach, role modelling new ways of managing from the top, getting the line managers themselves involved, because sometimes line managers adopt a controlling stance because they themselves are being controlled by people higher up. So kind of breaking that down right from the top and creating a more inclusive, discursive culture, I think, is really important. So I don't think there's any one quick fix there.
I think the other question with that is sort of to start with, who is the employee asking the question? If this is somebody within the organisation who's being managed by those people who don't get it, then it's a very different answer to answering it to an HR person or one of the leaders or managers of that organisation anyway. I mean, it's a very different approach if you're actually within the organisation having to influence upwards than it is the other way around. So. As you say, it's hard to answer that question anyway, but it's also hard when you start to think about which perspective it's coming from.
The context makes all the difference, doesn't it? I think you're absolutely right. For the sake of time, I'm going to have to finish that interview, but thank you so much, Katie and John and Joe, for all your contributions to that, because that was really, really interesting, and I hope that the listeners either right now or later or down the line who listen to the recording find that useful. So thank you, everybody. So just moving on, we'll have just a few minutes where we'll just share what's happening in January. And January is going to be a busy month. We've got a task force meetup, we've got a masterclass call happening, we've got 5 regional practitioner events. So I'm just going to whiz through these really quickly in the next 60 seconds. So the task force meeting is on Wednesday, and they'll be looking at how things went in 2013 with the go live events and the launch of the new website, social media, etc., and looking to where the movement is headed towards, what's happening. A movement always moves. As somebody always says, not sure who that was. So we will be sharing an update on that either through social media and or our news page, so look out for that. There is also a masterclass happening. BAE Systems have been working on employee engagement through turbulent times, and Alex Lewis will be leading that masterclass call. So look out for that. That's on the 16th of January at 11 a.m. And then there are 5 practitioner events, one on the 22nd of January in Stirling, one on the 23rd in Leeds and another in Wiltshire, one on the 25th in Birmingham, and one on the 31st in Sheffield. So there are lots of events all over the country for people to be getting involved in. And to book onto these events, just go to www.engageforsuccess.org and go to the community and events page. So I think that's all we have time for. So thank you, Joe and John, for co-hosting today, and to Professor Katie Truss for taking the time to be with us. And thank you out there for listening. And if you haven't already, please do join in the movement by visiting engageforsuccess.org and see how you can get involved. So bye for now.